We begin outside the exhibition Condensations, When the Light Thing Becomes Heavy by Tegan Moore. Next to the artist statement, there are four objects, material from the exhibition for guests to touch. First, there is the perforated steel angle bar that holds the air conditioner. Second, a piece of the mesh that covers the wood to form the ceiling. Third, there is a smooth wooden offcut, the type used to create the structural frame of the drop ceiling. Finally, there is a handful of polystyrene foam granules, the kind that sits atop the mesh. As you walk into the gallery, to the left, there is an old Danby air conditioning AC unit, the boxy type that lined the windows of an older apartment building in the summer. The AC is suspended at 5 feet high, about a foot away from the wall, by a rectangular structure of perforated steel angle bars screwed to the ceiling. The plastic control panel, the vent that emits cold air, faces towards the wall. The side with the fine metal grate intended to hang out the window faces inside the gallery. The AC unit has all the wear and tear you'd expect for something discarded to the side of the road. Scratches and deformations to the metal, cobwebs along the vents, rusted hardware, and a singular piece of graffiti that reads "Exist" down the side in black block letters. Shifting your gaze in front and slightly above the air conditioner, at about 7 feet, there is a suspended drop ceiling composed of four wooden rectangular structures, approximately 10 by 6 by 3 feet or 3 by 2 by 1 meter, covered in sheer mesh. The ceiling structures begin in front of the air conditioner and extend across the sides of the room. There is about 1 foot of space between the four structures, creating a cross-like pathway on the ceiling. Scattered on top of the mesh is a large amount of white polystyrene foam granules, the kind that fill a beanbag chair. Among the granules are dried leaves and plant material from the neighborhood, as well as thin cardboard packaging, the type for crackers or soda cans. Lit overhead, the items atop the mesh cast abstract shapes and shadows on the white walls of the gallery. The thin rectangular beams that form the structure of the drop ceiling are smooth offcuts of hardwood, salvaged from a local furniture business. The wood shifts color in a gradient, from pale beige beside the AC to deep brown on the other end of the wall. The material morphs from maple, oak, and then walnut. The mesh around the wooden structures is of two varieties. The vertical sides are a clear plastic mesh with rigid 6mm grid. The weave is too wide to fit bean bag granules. They would fall straight through. The second, the mesh on the bottom of the structure holding the granules is a white fiberglass variety with a slightly tighter, more imperfect weave. The white walls of the gallery are bare except for three pieces, each placed at the intersections of the grids where no mesh is above them. Contaminant lung, hydrophilic blue scar tissue hug with heirloom. At first glance, contaminant lung is a 16-inch long oblong of aquamarine blue metal speckled with the same white polystyrene foam granules that hang in the mesh. The contrasting colors create an abstract pattern. The oblong is an old condenser with copper rods that run the length of the piece coiling on top of each end, sandwiching many paper-thin sheets of aluminum together, like stacked floors of an apartment building. Wedged among the little sheets are the foam balls. As you look closer, you may spot a single pearl from a ring that belonged to the artist's grandmother, camouflaged among the balls. On the bottom, the metal coils have been exposed to sulfur vapor from hard-boiled eggs, creating a crackly layer of dark rust. On the top, there is a gradient of powdery green patina over the coils due to being oxidized by vinegar vapor. Cytidine isolation. City girl esters are more sensitive to hydrolysis, while city girl esters are more sensitive to oxidation. Inside a smooth walnut frame, 26 by 35 centimeters, the same offcuts in the ceiling structure, is a degraded terrain of mustard earth-colored polyurethane spray foam insulation, the kind found in new building construction. The foam is cracked and crumbly like pieces of dried earth or coarse rock nestled beside one another. The textures of the foam are softened behind an exterior panel of diffused plastic that blur the contours and create a somewhat kaleidoscopic effect. The cracks vary in size, from small veiny splits to large chunks, creating an uneven topography across the surface. La quotidienne et le frisson. Is it being deep or becoming surface? From afar, the rectangular panel, 24 by 34 centimeters, of La Quotidienne et le Frisson resembles a landscape of sky blue formed by identical strips of white and blue paper tags protruding from exposed ridged layers of white cardboard. The tags aren't in uniform lines, but they are in such close proximity to one another that they create a singular abstract image that seems to move with the viewer. Each tag is created from expired Loto Quebec tickets, about 5 mm squared, and has a blue side with the word B printed in white sans serif font. On the reverse side, the tags are blank, save for a few indiscernible letters of fine red print. As you move around the piece from a center angle to the periphery, the ratio of blue to white paper visible changes, creating patterns among the lottery ticket stubs. The sides of the cardboard structure are not smooth, revealing the crinkly edges of the cardboard like spines stacked beside one another. Audio description explanation. This audio guide and accompanying transcript was created by Jesse Stainton and the artist, with reading and sound editing by Francis Ouellette, as part of an ongoing collaboration between Clark and Access in the Making, AIM Lab, to experiment with creative ways to increase accessibility at the gallery. Audio description, AD, in oral or written form, is intended to make visual information more accessible to blind or low vision audiences. This AD takes a creative approach, embedding the objects in their stories and providing some tactile objects of engagement. At Clark, we approach access as a process, not a destination. We are always working at improving our accessibility. For comments or feedback, please email jesse.stainton@concordia.ca.